Hey friends, welcome to the Miscarriage to Miracle podcast, your go-to show to learn tips on how you can prevent miscarriage and optimize your fertility in partnership with the God who loves you. Have you went through a devastating loss? Are you questioning if you will ever be able to carry a pregnancy to full term? Or are you having trouble getting pregnant again? Well, if any of this resonates with you, this show is for you, my friend. Subscribe and stay a while because you are going to want to hear more. Are you having fears and anxieties around getting pregnant again? Are you wondering if God is even hearing your prayers? Are you feeling discouraged and want to be filled with hope and joy again? My friend, you are not alone. And I am here to remind you and encourage you that your story is certainly not over yet. Keep believing, keep trusting, and good things will happen to you. Hey, I'm Tarina Chin, host of the Miscarriage to Miracle podcast. I am a follower of Jesus, a wife, and a mom to three, two angel babies in heaven, and one sweet angel right here with me. And I am so glad you found this podcast. After two miscarriages, I was heartbroken and angry, longing for a baby to hold more than anything else in the world, filled with anxiety and fear about getting pregnant again. And I questioned if I could ever carry a baby to full term until I began to seek God for clarity on what steps to take and how to find peace in my pain. After doing tons of God-led research, through many tears and much prayer, here I am with a one-year-old baby girl who has brought our family so much joy and peace. If you are looking to expand your family God's way, grab some water and a notebook and let's get started. As a reminder, the content on this podcast is for information and educational purposes only. It is not intended for medical advice, does not take the place of medical advice or treatment from a physician. Listeners should consult their own doctors or a qualified healthcare professional for specific health concerns and questions. As a reminder, you can grab a free copy of my 12 quick tips on how to prevent miscarriage and what I did to have a healthy third pregnancy. I discuss biblical and practical steps you can take to optimize your fertility and help your body prepare for pregnancy in the best way possible. You can get your free copy today by visiting bit.ly/12freetips. That's bit.ly/12 free, F-R-E-E, tips, T-I-P-S. You can also email me at preventmiscarriage@gmail.com for any prayer requests or questions. I would love to connect with you, and I look forward to getting to know you. Okay, let's dive in to today's episode. Today, I want to discuss how to discern a good fertility doctor from a bad one. The first question you may be asking is, should you even see a fertility specialist? If you are thinking about getting pregnant or you had one miscarriage, you may be considering a fertility specialist or you're not sure if you should get one. I believe that if you miscarry one time or if you have heavy, painful periods, these are both really good reasons to seek out fertility testing if you're trying to have a baby or looking to get pregnant. But I want to give you some tips and advice on how you can discern a good doctor from a not so good doctor. I remember after I went through my first miscarriage, I did not go see a specialist right away. But then I got pregnant again shortly after my loss, and I went to go see a fertility specialist thinking that they would help me to prevent losing my baby since I was already pregnant. But unfortunately, that did not happen as I expected. When I went in, they checked my progesterone and estrogen levels and claimed that my levels were normal. So they told me that I was on track to keeping the baby. So at 6 weeks, I hear the heartbeat. And then I went back at 8 weeks and the heartbeat was gone. In hindsight, there are many things I would have done differently had I known what I know now. Later, I found out that my progesterone levels were statistically normal, but I found out from another fertility specialist that they were on the low normal side, which I believe meant that progesterone supplements could have actually saved my baby. Another thing I really regret was getting ultrasounds back to back and that early. I now recommend to only get ultrasounds after 10 to 12 weeks. The baby is just so small and fragile, and I don't believe messing around with an ultrasound is helpful, you know, before that time. I don't want to sound bitter towards doctors, but I really have had some bad experiences, and I want to share them so that other women can know what to look out for. The sad part is, some of them just want your money. Some are doing what the textbooks say, but they're not tailoring the treatment to your individual situation. So they're not like evil or mean doctors. It's just they're not really keeping up to date with the research. They're not really wanting to advocate for you because essentially you're just another patient to them. And so they're not really looking into individualized treatment. Okay. And some may actually care, and they may actually go above and beyond to give you individualized good treatment. I've had one of those doctors. So I'm not trying to scare you and make you turned off from doctors. But what I am trying to say is that there are other methods, and we should be advocating for ourselves. Every doctor visit we see, we need to be looking up the research, doing our own and having our own understanding of what's going on, and seeking out coaches and mentors and people who have done all the research before and know all these things, and not just rely on the word of a doctor. We have to advocate for our own healthcare. So that is why I am partnering with God, and I'm making it my mission to help women advocate for themselves, to give them the knowledge, tools, and resources they need to be better prepared for their doctor visits so they don't go into their fertility appointments blindly. Okay, so just to be clear, like I go to the doctor's office. I'm not saying don't go. They can be very helpful, especially when it comes to fertility testing, because they have all the tools. But what I am saying is I am encouraging you to be an advocate so that you're not just blindly going into these appointments and just listening to everything they have to say, but you're bringing your own insights, wisdom, and questions with you. And that's what I'm here to do, to prepare people for their fertility appointments and to help them fully understand the results and testing, all the things they need to understand in order to be able to be more prepared at these appointments and ask the right questions. So I went to several doctors. Like I said, I'm not opposed to going to doctors as I was navigating my miscarriages. So here are three tips that I have for you today so that you can, you know, avoid the wrong doctors and try to find the right doctors. So a doctor is most likely in it for the money if they offer you treatments way too quickly after testing. I had completed a lot of fertility testing and my ovulation pattern was completely normal, but yet I had a doctor willing to give me ovulation medicine. I ended up getting pregnant with my third baby, which was successful, before taking the ovulation medicine. So I never actually took the medicine, but the doctor did give it to me. And when I look back at that situation, I realized that, why did he even give me that? Because when I looked back at the testing and the results of the testing that I had done, ovulation was never a problem. But I guess at the time, I was going to just listen to the doctor because I didn't take my own advice that I'm telling you now to do your own research, right? Like if you go through fertility testing and they want to give you a certain treatment, whether it's IVF, IUI, ovulation meds, you know, a shot, like whatever it is they're trying to give you, you have to look at the research and look at your results and say, do I even actually need this treatment? Like what are the biological reasons why I need this treatment? Why the doctor is saying I need this treatment? So what the doctor really should have done, he should have told me to try natural remedies first to improve my overall fertility and prevent miscarriage, instead of trying to offer me medicine with a bunch of side effects first that I didn't even need and that were clearly unnecessary and not a part of God's plan. The more right thing would have been if he really maybe didn't know any natural remedies or felt like he couldn't offer me anything but that medication, he should have just said, You should have just sent me away and said, look, I can't really help you. Just keep trying because your results are not showing anything that I can give you treatment for. Like if the results are not showing anything that the doctor can give specific treatment for, and they're just saying that to make your fertility, make your pregnancy happen faster, even though there's nothing biologically wrong or that they can see that's wrong, they should just send you away. Like it stinks to say that. But giving you medicine that is not treating the cause because they don't know the cause, like that's, to me, is not right. But like I said, I'm just telling you my situation. So this is why it is important to truly do research and understand what is really going on with your bodies, with our own bodies, instead of just relying on what the doctors say. Because sometimes doctors immediately want to just give you something that you have to pay for so that they can continue seeing you and collecting money from insurance. So another doctor you want to watch out for are the ones who offer DNCs very quickly after miscarriage without telling and encouraging you to take more natural approaches first. So DNCs are big cash flows for these offices. I remember when they were offering me after my second miscarriage, I started seeing a fertility specialist. Remember, I told you that. During my second pregnancy, I was seeing a fertility specialist to try to help them prevent the pregnancy, but that didn't happen. I ended up losing the baby anyway while seeing a fertility specialist. And I remember that after they found out that I had miscarried, there was very little compassion and concern. There was very little like, how are you? Can I send you a counselor? Can I send you a psychologist? Can I help you through this? It was more of, okay, can we schedule your DNC? And I got several calls from doctors. Let's schedule your DNC. Are you ready to schedule your DNC? Like they're literally marketing this DNC for me. And at one time I actually did look into it just because they make you feel like it's something you have to do. And so I looked into it and the price was beyond me. It was like, I guess my insurance wasn't that great. I don't know, because the price was like, I don't know if it was like 7,000 or something crazy. And I was only 8 weeks pregnant. So thank God, God gave me wisdom to know that I didn't need a DNC. The doctors tell you that you need it, but there are a lot of unnecessary risk when it comes to getting a DNC, especially early on like I was, like scarring of the uterus, which I don't know if you know that, but the doctors, I don't even know if some all of them tell you that. They tell you the risk is very minimal. But for some reason, I hear it happens a lot where if you get a DNC, you can have a lot of scarring in your uterus that can actually be, it could actually make things worse when you're trying to get pregnant later or have fertility struggles and increase the fertility struggles later on. So because I actually did my research and realized that I didn't have to get the DNC, it's just they kept calling me about it, probably because it's a big cash flow for them. So knowing this, I refused to get the DNC. I ignored all the doctor's calls because they were trying to convince me to get one. And I decided to miscarry naturally at home. And then afterwards, what is really important if you do miscarry naturally at home is that I had to go back to the doctor to make sure that my uterus was cleared out through like an ultrasound. They can just check it and make sure I had no remaining pieces or tissues inside of my uterus. And I do believe that's important. And I miscarried naturally twice with no DNC, my first miscarriage and my second miscarriage. So they were really tough experiences. Like going through miscarriage at home, they are very tough experiences. And I believe that miscarrying naturally helped my uterus heal quickly and naturally, which allowed me to conceive naturally at my third attempt. So I do believe that miscarrying naturally did help my uterus to be ready for my third pregnancy. So if a doctor was constantly calling you to book a DNC, especially if you miscarried in the first trimester, be aware. That's my experience. So my third tip is to try to find a doctor. So this is where we can find a good doctor. How do we find a good doctor? Try to find a doctor who talks more about natural approaches and least invasive approaches before jumping into the approaches like IUI, IVF. Ovulation meds. Try to hear what they're saying. And if there's doctors mentioning or giving you more natural tips first, those are good doctors to look into and invest your time and money into. So like I said, I am not here to bash all doctors. Okay. I'm saying go see a doctor, but it has to be a good one. And we have to pray, ask God, Lord, guide me and lead me to a good doctor. You want a doctor willing to tell you about natural things first, in the least expensive, least invasive things first. For example, I had already known about baby aspirin. Okay, so baby aspirin is good to take, and it's not really harmful unless you have some other things going on, but just look it up if you have some other issues going on in your body, and you have to look up like, okay, is it okay to take baby aspirin if I have a certain condition? So I don't know, but in my case, I didn't have any conditions, so I was able to take baby aspirin. And baby aspirin is really good to take just even when you're trying. So before you even get pregnant, like start taking it 5 to 6 times a week, once a day before you even get pregnant. And I think it really helps with the blood flow to the uterus. So I did this on my third attempt, which was a successful pregnancy. I didn't do this on my first and my second attempts to get pregnant that ended in miscarriage, but I did this on the third attempt, which was successful. And then, so I had a fertility specialist tell me about this. So see, that's the good thing. Even though I had already did research and I had already like looked it up online, so I knew it was a good thing to do, but I had a fertility specialist that actually confirmed that it was a good thing to do. And so that kind of gave me the push to actually go forward with it. But the fertility specialist that I've seen before, the one who told me that it was okay to take the aspirin, they never mentioned baby aspirin. They never even told me about it. They never mentioned it. And so, you know, there's certain doctors who are going to actually tell you these natural things first so that you don't have to spend all this money and invest all your time and body into these other things. They're going to help you with more natural things first. And what I loved about that fertility specialist that told me about the baby aspirin in particular is that she did not jump to any assumptions or conclusions first about what she thinks I should do. But first, she did an entire fertility testing workup on me. She looked at all the results and wanted to give me specific treatments tailored to my specific results. So this is one thing that I like to go over with my coaching clients. I like to help them to know what fertility testing to ask for, because I don't think all fertility specialists give the entire workup, and I don't know if they all explain why you're getting each test and what the results of that test mean. I don't know if they do a good job explaining it. Not all of them do. So that's one of my things that I help my coaching clients with. So she did not just try to give me random treatments that were unnecessary. That's what I loved about her. And I knew this because I asked many questions and I did my own research. And honestly, I would not have known or understood a lot of what was going on during my fertility testing and results days if I haven't done my own research. So in conclusion, don't trust a doctor who offers you treatments too quickly, especially if you don't even fully understand the biological reason for needing those treatments. Always ask questions and fully understand what you are getting and why you are getting it before saying yes. Number, don't trust a doctor or a fertility practice who tries to convince you to get a D&C and does not mention the risk, especially if it is in the first trimester. Don't trust a doctor who's continually pushing the D&C on you before they even ask you if you need counseling or psychology or therapy to deal with the loss, because that just shows lack of compassion. Number three, try to find a doctor who will talk about the more natural, inexpensive, and non-invasive treatments first. So yes, I love doctors when it's the right one, and we have to pray to ask God to help us find the right one. So try to find those doctors, the more natural doctors, and try to find those doctors first who are more natural, who tell you about the inexpensive, non-invasive treatments before they start discussing the IVF, the IUI, the ovulation meds, other medicines that they say help. Just try to find the more natural paths first. I know it is hard to wait on the Lord when you feel like you have been waiting so long already, but trust me, God's timing will always be better than trying to take matters into our own hands. I always think about the story with Sarah in the Bible. She waited so long. Some may think, well, you know, she had the right to finally take matters into her own hands and tell her husband to sleep with their maid so that they could have a baby, and she was hoping to raise the baby on her own. Some people look at that and say, well, she had the right to push the it along because she waited so long. But look what happened when she did that, when she tried to force things to happen instead of taking a more natural route and waiting on the Lord. She ended up jealous, bitter, because now her husband had a baby with another woman and she could not raise that baby as her own like she thought she could. And she ended up sending that baby and the mom away because she was so jealous. I believe that the lesson in that story is just God telling us that it's better to wait for his perfect timing, no matter how long it takes. And I'm praying that it's not going to take long. I'm praying that God's going to come through for you or for someone you know faster than you can think or imagine. But I'm also knowing and believing that God's perfect timing is best. Because if we try to force it to happen, we are not going to get the true joy and satisfaction we are hoping for. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. The content shared in this episode of the Miscarriage to Miracle podcast is intended for educational and informational purposes only. This information should not be used as a substitute for professional medical advice or treatment. Please consult a qualified healthcare provider for any medical concerns or conditions. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Miscarriage to Miracle. I pray that today's conversation has encouraged your heart and brought you one step closer to your miracle. Remember, no matter where you are on your journey, you are not alone. God sees you, he's with you, and his plans for you are good. If this episode blessed you, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with someone who needs hope today. Until next time, keep believing, keep praying, and keep trusting in the God who turns mourning into dancing. I'll see you in the next episode. God bless.